Now, onto the homily proper for today. One of the challenges that the Gospels present us with, and we have one in our Gospel today from Matthew 10, is that there are sections of Matthew, Mark, and Luke where our blessed Lord said a number of things, but he probably said them at different times and in different contexts. And some of these passages, like the one we heard today, are sort of like a catch-all for a bunch of Jesus's sayings that it's very unlikely that he said them all at the same time because they're all kind of mixed together. We're switching among four different themes in just 10 verses, so very unlikely. So what I'm just going to do today for the sake of the homily is to concentrate on just one line which has relevance to Father's Day, our civic observance. And here's the line. Jesus asks his hearers, "Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows." This, of course, points us to a doctrine in church teaching called divine providence, the active work of God present in every single dimension of our lives. There's a tendency amongst us to sometimes think that some of our problems or the details of our lives are so minuscule compared to some of the world's problems that we think, well, God probably doesn't really care too much about this small detail. Not at all. Every single dimension of our lives matters to him personally. Personally. So it's a fallacy to think that there are aspects of our lives that God doesn't care about. Certainly, this would contradict what the gospel says. Because even the Lord reminds us that God the Father is even attentive to every single seemingly meaningless bird, a sparrow, which falls from the sky to the ground to its death. And if that's true about creatures that low in the ecosystem, how much more so for the human person? Now, I bring up the idea of providence because there are so many challenges to divine providence and our understanding of it today. And I'll just mention two for the sake of expediency here. One challenge that we're seeing growing in rapid ways is what's called syncretism. Now, if you want to know what syncretism is, it's really simple. Syncretism is the mixing of non-Christian religious or spiritual elements into a Christian in general and a Catholic in particular's life in God. I'll give you an example. There's a Vietnamese restaurant that I like to go to. I won't say where it is, but it's not far from here. And behind the counter is a crucifix. When I first walked into the restaurant, I said, "Oh, cool. The owners are Catholic." Well, I'm not sure, because on the counter's Buddha. Okay? This is syncretism. It's kind of shopping around for the best that I can get from all the different systems and is hybriding it into my consumer experience of religion. What works for me, right? This reminds me of a story attributed to Joan Rivers. She tells of a story of a friend of hers whose husband was dying. And the husband says to his wife, "Call the priest." And the wife says, "Merv, what are you talking about? We're Jews." And Merv replies, "Just in case they're right." Okay, so there's this idea, right, that we just try to pull from different systems. So prevalent now. I hear Catholics talking about this. Energies, chakras, their chi, their center, right? Crystals, rocks, these different sources of energy. Yoga, which, by the way, I work with three exorcists back in California. All of them to a man will tell you that it is one of the most dangerous portals of demonic life in a Catholic. Because all the postures that people hold in their yoga practice are actually imitations of Hindu gods. That's paganism. Very, very popular. People say, oh, it's just for stretching. Don't talk to my exorcist friends about that, because they have to deal with this on a constant basis. So there's this idea that people are trying to mix and match, and this is contrary to providence. As Catholics, we don't believe in energies or chakras. We believe in grace and providence. And what that means is that in every single dimension of our lives, God, our Heavenly Father, is an active, not a passive, but an active lover of each of us personally, so much so that even Scripture reminds us that every hair on our head is counted. Now, why is this important? Because one of the things that we often run into is this second question that I want to bring up, which is, what about Father's suffering in the world? How do we account for suffering in the world when God is so concerned about our lives? Well, remember, it's important to keep in mind that suffering, which by the way, is the very means through which the Lord saved the world in his passion, death, and resurrection, and his suffering, is not something that should befuddle Christians in general and Catholics in particular. Rather, we should have a very precise understanding of how suffering fits into the ecosystem of providence. A great saint reminds us that one of the reasons why God permits suffering in the world is that without it, man would not know his limits, and second, he would easily forget his dependency on God. Now, what do we talk about sufferings of innocence, which is particularly offensive and difficult to the human condition, especially when we see this amongst children, among people who are just victims of horrific situations, and by the way, with no seeming resolution in this life. Remember, God does not will us to suffer, but he permits it to occur in our lives so that he can always draw some greater good from it, even if that good in the present moment is hidden from our eyes. And I have seen this happen time and time again. I'll give you an example. Father O'Hare and I were just reflecting yesterday over dinner that we've both been ordained as clerics. We were both made deacons 25 years ago. Next year will be silver jubilarians. That's hard to believe. We were reflecting on the fact that when we were ordained, 3 months later, 9/11 happened. I spent a good 2 weeks at St. Luke Parish in McLean because I was assigned there as a transitional deacon, assisting with various funerals associated with persons who were killed at the Pentagon. Tough way to begin your life as a member of the clergy. And of course, naturally, people were asking these very same questions about suffering. But I also noticed a great good that came out of it, as tragic as the event was. Masses were never more full. Confession lines were literally out the door. I'm sorry that it took a catastrophe like that to draw people back to their senses and to sober them up. But it is right what that saint said. If it was not for suffering, we would not know our limits or our need for God. Suddenly, there was great spiritual renewal and revival. It lasted for about 6 months. And then, unfortunately, true to the human condition, most people forgot, and then it went back their merry way. And then church attendance has continued to decline since then, with perhaps the exception of this last Easter. So we should be mindful as Catholics of God's providential care for each of us. My brothers and sisters, please never despair of the reality that every single dimension of your life, every breath you take, is important to God. And so much so that we should live with a constant sobering reality that all of us are but one breath from meeting him face to face. For now, we get to see him under the veil of the sacrament, the Eucharist. One day, we shall behold him as he truly is, when every tear will be wiped from our eye, every injustice will be made just, and God's will, which is done on heaven, will finally be done on earth in perfection. May we raise our sights towards heaven, confident in the reality of divine providence and the workings of grace in our lives, so that we will never despair of God's goodness in each of our lives, that he cares and loves for us deeply, as a father cares for his child. May he be praised both now and forever. Amen.